All right, so if you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to continue our series going through spiritual gifts this time around. I was even sharing with my son Joshua that, you know, we haven't been in 1 Corinthians 12 for a while, teaching congregationally. Romans 12, you guys know we went through that in more recent years. This is our second time, through the grace of God, going through teaching through the entire New Testament's 27 books from Matthew through what? Revelation. We've taught through that, 27 books. This is our second time through the grace of God going through. And while our servant team, we might go through this quite often talking about spiritual gifts, we always cover chapters like 1 Corinthians 12, this one, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. We realize, though, for the congregation and those that might be watching or listening online, you may have that desire. I found serving God on both coasts at Calvary Chapel in California, as well as on staff, by the grace of God, being on staff at a Bible college, that every single born-again Christian has a desire to know your spiritual gifts and why you exist right now, also called the calling of God. Amen. Is that any of you here? Raise your hand if that's you. You want to know that, right? So I'm not here to tell you what that is, but God has gifted each of us. Let's all stand, please, if we're able to. And we're going to start reading from verse 1. We'll pick up this time around. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit." Verse 4, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." So, Father in heaven, we ask for you to please open up our understanding of your word. Lord, as we pour through the pages here of Scripture, we want to be like the cow chewing on the cud, to keep going over it and over it and over, extracting out of it, Lord, discussing it, understanding it. But we need your help. Lord, I'll just take it by faith that each and every born-again, spirit-filled Christian wants to know. You're already preaching to each of our hearts that you want us to serve you. But we have to do it with that which you equip us with. So we want to know, Lord, what are these gifts, these tools for ministry? What are these things, God, that you want to grace us with? Teach us your word of truth, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. So each of us is gifted uniquely and differently. We are wonderfully special in God's eyes. There's no two of you. There's only one. That's just you. So as a creator, God is displaying his creative abilities by giving his children spiritual gifts, and they differ. They're going to be used, as it says here in verse 5, in different ministries, but Jesus is the Lord of all true ministries. And each of us can be used by having different, totally separate activities, or this word in verse 6, diversities of activities. It could also speak of effects. Each and every one of us is created unique. So Paul's going to go on in this chapter to describe 9 different spiritual gifts. But before he does, God is seeing the importance of knowing a little bit about the gifts before he just describes them to you. Now picture this. We have something coming up on the radar on December 25th. What do we call that? Christmas. Now, how many of you, when you're growing up, you're probably like me. You didn't care about the description. You just wanted that toy. You want to rip that puppy open. Is that any of you? Well, we don't want to be like the bratty kid, like how I was. I won't speak of you. I was like the bratty kid. Just give me that gift. You rip it open, and then you get Christmas syndrome, right? Some call it. You're wanting it. You desire. I want that G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip, or I want Stretch Armstrong, or whatever those toys are. Legos. Legos are still around. You open it up. You wanted that. You desired it for so long. It's in the morning, right? Some of you guys, you woke up even before the parents, and you're sitting there looking at your watch. You're like, looking at the clock. That was me. Was that any of you guys? You couldn't sleep the night before. It's like this weird disease. You wake up. You rip open that present. You might play maybe 5 minutes with maybe half an hour. And then later on, it's like, eh. Has that happened to any of you guys? Some call it Christmas syndrome. Now, it's not just Christmas. You could want something for your birthday. You desire something. So before we learn about these spiritual gifts, as they're itemized here, there's 9 of them in this chapter. God's going to teach us a little more about the gifts before they're listed. And now it's important, I want to share with you a little bit as we go on. It's important to know that these spiritual gifts, they're vast and varied. They're different. Even as it says here, look at this again in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts. They're diverse. They're different. We looked at it previously, how this word, verse 4, diversities, and verse 5, the word for differences, and verse 6, again, the word for diversities is the exact same Greek word used in verses 4, 5, and 6. So they're different. They're all going to be used maybe by you, maybe by all of us, and they're going to have a different outcome. God can use you, gifting you, let's say with the same spiritual gifts as your neighbor you're sitting with, and you can apply it in this ministry, as it says in verse 5, that Jesus is Lord of, but the effect, the activities, that speaks of effect, the outcome will be vast and varied. It'll be totally different. Please understand that. Because when I was growing up in Christ, I remember sitting there with a bunch of my guy friends, and we were wanting to be involved in ministry. Some of us thinking, okay, God might be calling me into pastoral ministry, and I want to be a teacher of his word of truth. I want to be a preacher. I want to be an evangelist. All these things were welling up within us. And I was in my 20s. This is back in California. I'm 56 now, so, you know, I have to do the math. It was a while ago. But I was sitting there with some guys, and I remember some of us, including self, including me, we would say things like, you know, when I teach, I want to teach about the grace of God, like Bob Hoekstra or like Pastor Chuck Smith. He could just speak with a smile, be beaming, and then share about the grace of God. He even wrote a book about the grace of God. And so some of us would talk like that. Oh, I want to speak about God's grace like that. Or when I evangelize, I want to be like Billy Graham. You see those old videos of Billy Graham when he was younger? He was down there and he's, look! You know, he knew how to appeal to the camera too. I'd be like watching like, ah! You're like all by yourself. You kind of get scared. Are you reading in my heart? So some of us would be sitting there thinking, I want to preach, I want to evangelize like a Billy Graham. And there's a guy, he's on the radio from Calvary Chapel. He's also out here on the East Coast, Raul Reese. Any of you hear of Raul Reese? Oh, he's an exhorter. He'll teach the Bible, but he's like, look, you got to do it. Get out of your seat. I would think, hey, you know, when I want to exhort like a Raul Reese. Or David Rosales. He's another one of my favorites. He's the one in his fellowship where we go to the West Coast worship conference. Go to his fellowship. So I used to speak like that in my Bible college years of how God would use us in ministry. And then I forget how it was stated. Either someone kind of barked it out or we started discussing, you know what, don't be like that. Just be you in Christ. And it was like a light bulb went off. Like, oh yeah, you know what? I don't have to endeavor to try to be like someone else. I don't want to think of, I want to be a, you know, Asian Billy Graham or something like that if I try to evangelize. I think that's going to mess people up. And what if God didn't gift me like that? He didn't. Or I don't want to be like a, you know, Chuck Smith just smiling and beaming, speaking about and teaching about the grace of God in a gracious way. That was God using them in Christ. In Christ. How about you in Christ? Who are you in Christ? As we go through this series, these studies on spiritual gifts, I don't want you to try to be like me. I want you to be like who you are in Christ. So each of us is on a journey with the Lord Jesus. That you are to discover what spiritual gifting you have. And that's going to help you because then you're going to know how perhaps you're called. Now this could work in the challenging way, let me say and share with you. Because for myself, and you guys should have a copy of this list. Take it out if you guys got it. You hold on to it throughout the weeks. Take notes if you want. We'll get to this little by little. This time around, I don't want us to just run through and rush through. Because this is the biggest part of the Bible. Three chapters speaking more, teaching more on the gifts of the Spirit than anywhere else in the Bible. There are tons of books about gifts. But just like it opens up in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, this, my friends, might be one of the biggest areas of ignorance in the body of Christ. No wonder God says, regarding spiritual gifts, he doesn't want us to be what? Ignorant, if you like how I was talking about it. When I was, don't be ignorant. All right, he doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to know. Sorry. So be you in Christ. Now, I had you take this out. We give this out as a handout. And if anybody needs an extra copy, we can get you some. You can see, I think Miss Kimmy's handing them out today. But as we discover the spiritual gifts, again, we'll slowly go through this chapter. And I want you to embrace the fact. Don't just learn from me. My job is to break it down and to go through the tough stuff. But God willing, hand feed you these things. But I realize these things take a while, right? So if you've been here for a while, for some years, some of you guys have known for years, we keep going through the gifts to the point where maybe you get annoyed. Good. So now you'll know where they are in the Bible because I'm not the one that's preaching to you late at night when you're wondering how God's going to use you, when you're wondering what your life is going to be about, when you're wondering what your calling is, when you're wondering, why am I still alive? Why do I exist right now? I'm married, but sorry, wife. She's here somewhere. Don't want to offend her. Oh, there she is. And by the way, one reason why she married me, she wanted to make sure she met and married someone that loved Jesus. And I even tell her at times, I love Jesus more than you. I don't mean it in a rebuke or a bad way, but that's what she wanted. And it was hard for her to find someone that would know the Bible and would want to hear from God and would love the Lord Jesus. So marriage is secondary to your eternal marriage with Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, so no matter where you are, single, divorced, widowed, whatever, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is giving you spiritual gifts. Don't be like how I was, me and my buddies. I remember my buddy Garrett Breland. He played for the LA Rams, a big hulking guy. He's like big and tall like you. He was a linebacker. He's now gone to be with the Lord. He was actually young. He passed away not too long ago. But he is one of my buddies in Bible college. We talk about, yeah, how I want to be used, how I stand. And like, that was so foolish. I can't believe that. And that was me. So knowing that was me, I realized, well, that might be some of you. But don't try to mimic me. Copy the Lord Jesus Christ, but see who you are in Christ. And if you're wondering, what are the spiritual gifts? Here's a list of them. These are the ones in the Bible. Okay? You could also get what I would say is arguably perhaps the best book on the gifts, written by Pastor Chuck Smith. We have it on the wall over there, called Living Water. Each chapter is on a different gift of the Holy Spirit. So as I was starting to learn what the gifts are, and I started to make my own list. This is an iteration of what my studies, my journey with Jesus was. Starting from even before Bible college, I started to learn, like, what are these things? Why have this desire, this interest? And I realized it was ubiquitous. As soon as you become born again, Spirit of God comes to live within you, he's already preaching this to your heart, isn't he? You're wanting to know what's the purpose of life. It's not to build a bigger barn. It's not to have the American dream. If that's where you are, repent. Repent hard. If you're like me, I saved up. I had a house in Orange County, California. He had me sell the house. I'm not saying you got to sell what you got, but I'm just saying he may test you to see if you have a love of money or a love of Jesus. Amen? And I didn't know that past that side of the test, 9/11 would happen as a catalyst to bring me out here. And that's what he did with me. It'll be different with you. But as I was studying what the gifts of the Spirit are, and I isolated, you can look at it and study the entire Bible. You'll find it in, predominantly in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Also, you'll find inferences to the gifts of the Spirit in Ephesians 4, also 1 Peter 4. But you'll come away with about 17 gifts as far as the Bible illustrates them. So this becomes something where it's tangible for you to pray through, to study, to look at, to ask questions, to discuss. And I don't want to just run through it because I think you're like how I was. You want to know. But don't blame me. Don't get mad at me if as you are studying these gifts along with us, if you're like me and you start to study these and you realize, oh no, you gave me the gift of teaching. I don't want that. It's like when you buy a gift. Some of you give gifts and you include a little receipt with it just in case they want to do what? Some of you guys are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. You give them the receipt. Why? So they can return it. Do you know when God gives a gift, a spiritual gift? Do you know you can't return it? You can't. I tried. So as I was studying through the gifts of the Spirit, the Spirit of God, you know, his still small voice is as if he was almost shouting to me. But he did it through others. He would bring people to me. I'd be sitting in someone's living room. We'd be talking about Jesus. Someone brings up Bible questions, and people started asking me. I'm like, why are you asking me? I'm trying to learn too. And these questions would come up. And come to find out, we'd be sitting around. We'd be doing a Bible study. I'm like, oh, as soon as I realized that, the Holy Spirit's kind of like, gotcha. Sometimes he'll trick you. Not in a bad way, but he opens doors. And I started to see that the strongest gifting, supernatural spiritual gifting he gave me, it's not a learned thing, it's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural empowerment. The strongest spiritual gift he gave me is the gift of teaching. And there are other ones too. They're complementary. But what I'm saying is, if you're like me and you study the gifts, you want to isolate them. Some of you are like me. When you go shopping, you want to see what all the options are. Which of you is that? Okay, so some of you, you want to know what all the options are. I'm buying a refrigerator. There's too many brands, too many choices. Do I buy a new one? Do I buy a used one? What about the one? You're like, and you put it off. Why? Because there's too many. So if you're like me, analytical, you want to analyze before you decide. We helped you with that. Take out some of the guesswork. We ripped through the entire Bible. If you think you've got a new one, bring it up. Let me know. Doesn't have to be right the second, but let me know. Just make sure it's after the resurrection of Jesus, or else technically you cannot call it a gift of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in Ephesians 4. He ascended on high and gave gifts to men, quoting from a scripture. So Jesus had to die on the cross, be resurrected, ascend into heaven, that's Acts 1, and then Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, pour out spiritual empowerment and spiritual gifts. So as we go through this and grow through this, God willing, I do want to say at this juncture that I don't want you to be upset at me or God. I tried. It didn't work to get upset at God. And he doesn't take returns. Okay? He's not going to give you the receipt. The receipt is the blood of Jesus paid for in full. But just know that I expect, God willing, I'll just say by faith, that someone here in this crowd, and we got a whole bunch of you here, praise God for that, that God brought you in because he's wanting you to do something with your life. And your life is to be lived for the glory of God. Amen? Not for your bank account, not for your 501, whatever we call it, 401k. It's been a while for me. Not for the stuff of the world, not to, again, like the story of Jesus, some guy is like building a bigger barn. He's like, what do you tell that guy? Fool. Right, because no one knows the day, the time, nor the hour when he's going to ask for you to come home with him. Okay. So he wants you to live your life for his glory. You were created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. What are those good works? Who are those people? I don't know. So as God was starting to show me about these gifts and even how he gifted me with the gift of teaching, let me frame it to you this way. And this is how I described it even to a lot of my pastoral friends. And the crazy kind of faith he gave me back in 2002 when he moved me here. And I didn't know any of you here in this, you know, middle village. I didn't know anybody out here, really, except for I had some friends, they were family, they were here for a short while, and then they bailed, and they went out to New Jersey. I was just here. And God was thinking of you. But I was here, moving here, with this thought, God, I know you, I know how to determine your will and how to hear from you. I know the gifts you've given me, and you've proven them. And my faith is not on self or my ingenuity. I had to trust you with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. I know how to make money. I know how to get a job. When I came out, didn't know anybody here. Had hardly any money. Was sleeping on the ground in a one-car garage here in Middle Village in Queens. Just a couple blocks or so from here. Off of Elliott Avenue. My backyard is a garage, so we'd look through the window and I remember I'd see past the backyard in the house into the cemetery. Quiet neighbors. But I remember learning after I moved here, God, you gave me this spiritual gift called teaching. And I want to have the fruit of your spirit. And he showed me fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace. What's that fourth one? You guys are afraid to say it, huh? Patience. Patience, long suffering, my wife said. Nothing like marriage, twisted it. Patience, spiritual, supernatural patience, not just waiting for the guy in front of you, not honking your horn. That's New York patience. Spiritual, supernatural patience, waiting on God. Waiting on God for that kind of patience, supernatural patience. So, God, if you move me out here and the gift you gave me is teaching, you've got children out here, Father. I don't know who they are. I don't know where they are. I don't know when. But introduce me to people. And it took years. I mean, excruciatingly painful. But God's going to test you before he blesses you. Please understand that. That might be the case for you guys. So if you truly want to be used by God, we need to first discover who God created you to be. Along with that, our spiritual gifts. And simply trust him for today. Trust him for tomorrow. I don't know what he's going to do with each of you. But he's going to hold me to accountability that I teach you God's word. And God willing that we disciple you through the word. So we don't want to just run through this. You got to first discover who God created you to be. Along with the spiritual gifts. And then what typically happens second is that our lives usually line up with God's calling. So I was already in where I believe he wanted me to be. And when he uprooted me and brought me here, it, for me at least, it was simply a matter of, okay, you gave me this gift of teaching. You gave me a calling for pastoral ministry, spiritual leadership, making disciples, teaching the word. Like, wow, it's all you. I just got to wait. Like, yep. But God, can't we just microwave this thing and just make it quick? I don't want to have to wait. Does it have to be baked and slow cooked? Can it just be quick? Nope. There's nothing overnight typically that happens. So back to our text at hand here. Look at this in verse 4. I want to share this with you. And I display it on the screen. We had this, we looked at this previously, but it might be helpful to see it again. Verse 4, there are diversities of, he says, gifts. That word for gifts, as shown here on the display, this is just a screen capture of my Bible study software. Charisma. Now, in English, in America, we think charisma, like, you know, not me, but you might think, oh, someone's a good-looking guy, good-looking gal, they stand well, they speak with this abundant authority, they're polished. There's a lot of people, they think charisma in a church is that. But when you look at the Bible, think about it, even when God was picking the second king of Israel, what's his name? Second king of Israel, David. God sends his prophet, which are the Old Testament preachers. He sends the prophet over to David's family. What's that prophet's name? Samuel. When you're studying through Israel's history, Samuel was the last of the judges and the first of the lineage of prophets, which led all the way up to John the Baptist and even Christ himself. Samuel goes to David's family's house. He sees someone, David's oldest brother. Ooh, good-looking, tall, dark, handsome. Just like Saul, the first king. Ooh, there's some tall, handsome guys here. Ooh, this must be the Lord's anointed. This must be the next king. Just like Saul. He's the people's choice. Stood head and shoulders above everybody else. And what did God tell Samuel? Look not at his height nor his stature, for I have rejected him. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So God sees not as man sees. I remember learning that going, oh, good, I have a chance. God looks at your heart. So where is your heart? Are you desiring to know your gifts and calling just so you can have some kind of fame or glory? Kill it. Kill it before you kill something in the body of Christ. That's going to hurt the name of Jesus in this church and the body of Christ. But if you desire to truly serve God, just serve him with humility. And learn from my bad mistakes, too. If he's given you a gift, just accept God's grace graciously. I got to admit to you, I didn't do that at first. So this word for gifts, there's diversities of gifts, or remember, different kinds of gifts. It's the Greek word charisma. The definition of it literally is gift of grace. So the girl's name, Charis, again, it means what? Grace. You might meet someone. Typically, I will find those spell their name C-H-A-R-I-S. That's the Greek word for grace. So charisma is not, ooh, how polished, how good looking are you, how good can you speak or pronounce your syllables. When I first moved here, I had a hard Carl mouthful of marbles. Some of you guys, oh, praise God, some of you guys are still around here. Andy, Catherine, Wendy, Jose. When I met you guys, I came from California. I was like that laid-back surfer dude kind of attitude. That's Southern California. We slur our words. And some of these fast-speaking, some fast-speaking New Yorkers are like, what? What? They would speak too fast for me, and they couldn't understand me. I had to learn how to enunciate my words. I even took a speech class. It didn't help. Charisma. That's gift of grace, or even on the slide here, the gift of design grace. So the root of this word is grace. God will give these diversified gifts, but they're all from the same what? Spirit of God. Many gifts. What are they? Well, at least the ones that the Bible shows. I did the homework. You don't have to. You can if you want. You could dig in. If you have questions, I want you to ask. Let me know. We'll pray for you. God willing, we can help you because we need to disciple you. I learned in my Bible college years, as God put me over this class, I'm like, you're assigning me to what? It was called something like spiritual maturity and Christian growth. I'm like, I need maturity. I need to grow. But I think it was purely the grace of God. So as I would talk with the staff, and there was like no curriculum. I'm like, what? What are we to do? And I was like, one of the first classes he had me teach to Calvary Chapel Christians that would come in. I'm like, these are people, some of them are way older than me, like grandpas, literally grandpas, would come into the college and say, I've been around since the tent days, since like the 1970s. I'm like, I was born in 68. I was in diapers when you were worshiping God. But they'd come in, and I'd have to teach them. So we prayed. And I remember learning that, wow, every Christian, whether they came from Calvary Chapel or not, that many of them, they didn't know how to hear from God. They didn't know how to determine God's will. So I remember the pastor of that Bible college, he's one of the first guys that really started to mentor me and disciple me, Pastor Brett Peterson, great guy. We would talk all the time about hearing God's voice. So we came up with the curriculum basically based on three main things to look at. What are your spiritual gifts? Do you know how to determine God's will, like how to hear his voice? And do you know your calling? Because we realized that of the dozens and dozens of students that came in, half of them were from Calvary Chapel. Half of them were, because they advertised on the radio, so we got tons of people coming in. This is Orange County, California, the birth of the Jesus movement, so to speak. We had people that would listen to Pastor Chuck Smith on the radio, and they'd come in, and someone like me would have to teach them. I'm like, I can't do this. Oh, but with the grace of God, you can. I didn't know that. I had to learn that experientially. So as God brought people in, I remember just stressing and striving over these things. And he taught me, even experientially, and still is, that I need to simply lean on his power, lean on his grace. And so as you learn about what spiritual gifts you might have, again, there are diversities or different types of spiritual gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit of God. And you need to learn to lean on him and his strength. I learned from a guy named Pastor Bob Hoekstra. He had a ministry called Living in Christ Ministries. Whatever you can gobble up from Bob Hoekstra, he's gone home to glory with the Lord. But whatever you can learn from him, I highly recommend. All his stuff's freely available. You can go to Blue Letter Bible. He also has a website, gives out great teachings on grace, the grace of God. He's got like a daily devotional that gets emailed out by Blue Letter Bible if you want that. It's all free. But I learned things about the grace of God, spiritual gifts, how God builds the church, Christian family life, Christian marriage. So if you're listening to the stuff that I teach, you're like, that sounds familiar as you listen to Pastor Bob. It's because it is. Because we all came from the same source. It's the Word of God. Amen. And as you learn these things, learn and know that they're gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's irregardless of your age. And so if we got kids, I remember even telling my kid, Joshua, he's a teenager now, that when you have someone that's born again, whether they're a kid or an old kid like me, when they're born again, they have a mature God living within them. That sounds like sending me messages. Yes. Okay, we'll continue on. So these are supernatural abilities that God will give you. They're not learned. You can go to a seminary, a Christian Bible college. You can sit at home and read your Bible. It's not a matter of the education, but the inspiration that comes from God. Make sense? Amen? Just know that. Because I'm sure there's tons of seminarians that go through a seminary. They're like, now you're equipped to fill the pulpits around the world. They graduate, and God does nothing with their life. And they're bummed out, and they walk out. Why? It's because they were taught man's traditions and man's ways, not the supernatural ways of God. Amen? That happens all the time. So we need to simply understand that no human being can give you this gifting. Notice this again. They all come from, verse 4, the same Spirit of God. They're not discerned. They're not learned. They're not given by human flesh, but by God himself. I had to learn that, and I learned that experientially, and it took me years. So he had already discipled me, trained me up to the point when 9/11 happened. He gave me enough faith I remember having to sell a house and all this kind of stuff before moving. He was setting my life up, and he might be doing that with someone here. Not knowing that 9/11 would happen, and then he would jettison me out here. It was God willing for a church plant, and I had to lean on one spiritual gift. Yes, I could say I trusted God, but what did I, like a laser focus, what did I focus on? The gift of teaching. So he moved me on, and I'm like, there's people that call themselves Christians that don't care about the Bible. I met people, I used to work for American Bible Society. There might be some of you watching. I worked there for 10 years. There's some people that they had on staff that were preaching around the city that hadn't even read the Bible. Like, how do you teach on a certain topic within the Bible when you don't know the Bible? That's pretty scary. So we need to go to God and God's Word, amen? And not just repeat back what you've heard from other people. So again, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. What are they? You've got the list here. If you think there's another one, come up with it. Just make sure you cite the Bible. So if you come up and you tell me there's a gift of worship, David had the gift of worship. No, he didn't. Why? Because the spiritual gifts, technically, and I hear this all the time from people that are into worship and music, even me and Susan, that it had to come after Jesus was ascended into heaven. Ephesians chapter 4, look it up. He ascended on high and gave gifts to men. So spiritual gifts, they're given after the resurrection and ascension of Christ. He had to be the first one to resurrect, amen, before we can get born again, amen? And gifts, spiritual gifts, they're practical things that people can have. You can go to trade schools and learn stuff. You can go to the School of Hard Knocks and learn stuff. But spiritual gifts are only given to born-again Christians. So don't tell me that, oh, God used my life, and then I got born again. That wasn't a spiritual gift. You had to be born again first, have his spirit living. You had to be regenerated. We're physically born, but spiritually dead. Amen? Then he regenerates you. You become born again. You can read that in John 3, preaching to one guy. What was his name? Nicodemus, Nick at Night. Okay? John chapter 3, you had to be born again. And along with being spiritually birthed, he comes to live within you. And some of you are given spiritual gifts at that moment. Some of you are given spiritual gifts later on. Okay, so technically the gifts are given by the Lord. They're given by God. They're spiritual gifts of, notice this again, verse 4, the same spirit. You're given gifts after becoming born again. Okay, so those crazy, whacked out dreams you had growing up, and I had them too. No, those weren't from God. They may have been from a different God. Or maybe God was trying to get you saved, but he wasn't living within you. The Holy Spirit is trying to get within someone, but is external, right? And then when they get saved, now he lives within. So he's trying to get that person to repent from their sins so he could live within them. And then he's going to start to speak to you and want to use you. But first, his job is to preach to you sin, righteousness, and judgment. He points you to Jesus and his work. He's trying to point you to the cross of Christ and what he did, not how he's going to use you. He's got to first get in you. Okay, you can stop sending the text. All right. You just got to love that. All right, so let's continue on. Verse 5, this is... the passage says there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So notice that there's ministries. This is the Greek word diakonia, deacon, serving. It just means serving. So every true ministry has Jesus as Lord. So just because you can conjure up a bunch of creative stuff, it might be your flesh. If it's of God, I've seen a lot of church plants. They never got planted. They fail. And statistically across America, most church plants fail. So God never fails, does he? Were those church plants of God? No. Someone could have great ambition, great dreams, great aspirations. But if it never gets planted, it wasn't of God. Jesus wasn't Lord of that. You might call that even looking through the lens of the Old Testament, like with the book of Genesis. Remember Abraham and Sarah? Abraham and Sarah, God says that he's going to have a child of promise birth through them. What was that child's name? Isaac. So they thought they had a grand old plan to help God out, right? A product of the flesh. What was his name? Ishmael. That was their first child, Abraham's first physical DNA, so to speak, child. So today, Israel still has problems with Ishmael, right? And then later on, after Ishmael and Isaac were born, God tells, you can read about this in Genesis, God says to Abraham, take now your son, your only son. Wait a second, I have another son, an older one. He says, your only son. Offer him up to me. You can read about that later on. So God was telling Abraham, and contextually he's pointing out Isaac. One of the things you can gather from that, God doesn't recognize something that's done in the power of your flesh. Does he understand that? There's a lot of church work that's done in the name of Jesus, which Jesus is like, I ain't seen that. And the Holy Spirit's like, I never asked you to. I didn't empower you. And then it fails. It flops. Just understand that. So every true ministry has Jesus as Lord over that ministry. Look at verse 6. I'm going to display this on the screen here. There are diversities of activities, it says here in verse 6. Diversities of activities, different kinds of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, I display this on the screen. This is an interesting word, energema. It's where we get that word energy from. Energetic. another definition would say effect or outcome. The effect is the outcome. Effect, E-F-F-E-C-T, not effect, A-F-F-E-C-T. Got to think of my English here. So there's different kind of effects or outcomes. Hey, one thing to look at here, before we learn the listing of gifts in this chapter, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, verse 4. But the Spirit of God is the one that gives these gifts, gifts of grace. Verse 5, there are different kinds of ministries. But every true ministry has Jesus as Lord. Now, these gifts can be used in various ministries. Let's say we all had the same gift. Let's say we all have the gift of exhortation. About half of you from the servant team, we will ask and we'll have you fill out forms and we track and pray with you and talk with you throughout the months and years. So we want to disciple you. And about half of the servant team, there's like over 20 of you folks that want to serve. Praise God for that. But about half of you believe you have the gift of exhortation. So let's say that those of you that have the gift of exhortation, or let's say all of us are serving, and we're all serving in the same ministry, and we all have that same spiritual gift, verse 4. We're all being used by God in the same ministry, verse 5. What should you expect? That everybody will have the same effect or outcome? No. Isn't that beautifully wonderful and unique? I love that. How creative our Creator is. That even as it's listed here, you could have a spiritual gift, verse 4, and it could be used in a ministry, verse 5, but the way that you in Christ will have an effect or outcome, you can't compare it to someone else. So part of what I want to say today, like I opened up and saying and sharing, is don't be like how I was, where you're going to try to compare to someone else. Because when you compare to someone else besides Jesus, you're always going to be let down. Aren't you? If you compare yourself to me, you're going to be let down. If I compare myself to you, I'm going to be let down. Because we're looking to a human being, someone that's fraught with failure. Okay, that we all need the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? So verse 4 is teaching us, you've got spiritual gifts. They could be used in various ministries, verse 5. But they're going to have different outcomes, different effects. That's verse 6. Energema. There's going to be different ways energetically the Spirit of God is going to utilize you. And you simply need to receive God's grace graciously, gracefully. So don't try to be me. I'm trying to be me in Christ. I still am, and I still have to remind myself that I don't want to compare myself to someone else. If anybody, just compare myself to Jesus. And when we do that, we all realize, wow, I got a lot of growing up to do. And I want to do that. I want to grow. So remember, you're his workmanship. And then verse 7, it says here, we're going to have to close here in a little bit. Verse 7 mentions, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This is kind of packed up here. A lot. The manifestation of the Spirit. This word comes from a word that means to make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. You're like, big deal, I kind of figured that out. But think about this, Christian. As God utilizes you with spiritual gifts, that's verse 4, working in whatever ministries Jesus is Lord over, that's verse 5, and the effect or outcome, verse 6, he's going to work something that's beautiful, that when he manifests himself using you, the person or people that say, I don't believe God because I can't see God. You tell me about the love and grace and mercy of God, but what does that mean? That's so foreign. Please understand, Christian, when the manifestation of the Spirit of God works upon, into, and through you to reach and touch hearts and lives, it's God's way of manifesting himself by showing them something so wonderful. So we might ask, okay, what gets manifested? Think of this, the grace of God. Let me throw out this thought again to you guys. I said this before to this crowd. How would you draw a picture of the grace of God? Now I heard someone say, Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, but then how would you draw a picture of Jesus? Oh, like the rockster, long hair, blue eyes. No, that's going to be wrong even. You can't draw a picture of the grace of God. It's intangible. Now, how would you draw a picture of love? What color comes up in your mind? Red, right? Now, you learn that because of marketing, not because of the Bible. And what shape would it be? It's like a heart. You learn that also because of the world, because of marketing. But how would you draw a picture of the grace of God? You can't. So the grace of God, it gets something that seems to be sort of elusive, right? Even to Christians. I remember my Bible college years, I had a brother. He's on staff at Blue Letter Bible, actually. His name was Steve. Great guy. Greenberg, a Messianic believer. And he would tell the story how he was at the main campus at Calvary Chapel Bible College, which is a huge campus. He'd get out of one class, and he'd like stack them back to back, and he'd run across campus to the next one. And then that one's over, he'd run across campus. People like, where's he going? He's like always on the go, like really good in business and all that, so forth, supposedly from his background. And he took a class that was taught by Pastor Bob Hoekstra about the grace of God. And he didn't get it. He had to take it a couple times. Because it's elusive. Again, this is someone, he didn't understand the grace of God. He just thought it was all about works. That God's going to do it if I do it. So he'd get out of one class and run across the campus. So he became a picture of antithetically opposed to the grace of God. But as he shared, I remember him sharing the story with me, that he had to take that class a couple times to understand the grace of God. How do you say it? Gracia? Gracia. The gracia de Dios. The grace of God. That it's something that God will just do through you. You and I just have to sit. Not run. Sit. So he had to take that class a couple times. The one time, the light bulb kind of went, oh, I get it. And so what's comical is he ended up teaching that class. I was one of the students. He ended up teaching that class. So the grace of God, I learned even myself in learning it. You could read the books. We got a great book about the grace of God written by Pastor Chuck Smith, Why Grace Changes Everything. I listened to a lot of video series and teaching series. Got to teach on the grace of God. Was discipled into that thought by Pastor Bob Hoekstra, but still it was elusive for me. So I realize there's tons of people around you right now that if you tell them that God's a God of grace, they'll be like, I don't understand what you're saying. But if you allow God to utilize you, again, verse 4, with the spiritual gifts in various ministries, verse 5, and you allow him to, you got to surrender to the work of the Spirit, amen? You allow him to do this effect, this outcome that he wants to do, which is verse 6. He will manifest himself with these gifts of grace so that the person or people that say, and I'm talking about Christians too, primarily, like, I have no clue what the grace of God is. You'll be able to show them the grace of God as you're exercising, operating in those gifts of the Spirit. Does that make sense? Amen? So a lot of us are probably like, but I want that. Yes. So that's what happens with the grace of God. He's going to manifest, he's going to make visible or known those things that are hidden or unknown. Like God himself, or the Spirit of God, or the ways of God, the works of God. Again, you can go to school, you can learn, you can sit in the pews and listen for months and years, decades about the grace of God, the ways of God. But unless you surrender to the work of God, you're never going to get it. You just got to surrender, and then he will manifest himself and his presence upon, into, and through you. Like Jesus said, when you're thirsty, you come to him. Those who believe in Jesus, as the scriptures have said, out of your heart will flow rivers of what? Living water. You'll get to experience that, especially as you are operating and exercising in the gifts of the Spirit. So God and God's grace, it is something that's hidden or unknown. And what's made visible, you could at least say the gift and the grace of God. That's the grace of God is made manifest or visible. Notice he says here, again, we're going to have to wind down the close. They're given to each one. Later on, you could read Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 8. Don't have time to go through it right now. And they're for the profit of all. Two chapters from now, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, Paul writes about being zealous for spiritual gifts. He says, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So we don't want to just learn about gifts for selfish reasons. It's to edify the church. So gifts are, one simple way to remember it and to say it, gifts are given to the church, and they're predominantly for the church. Let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. This is one reason why the devil and even governments want you to know, just social distance, mask up, stay away, no fellowship, no koinonia. Because when you come together, you're going to stir up love and good works. God's going to be glorified. The church will be edified. The devil doesn't want that. Any of you figured that out in the last couple of years? I did. Many of us did. So we're going to close here with a word of prayer. And Susan, can we set up for time of worship? I'm going to pray for my wife, Susan. I think her voice was hurting. You okay? Okay, sweetie. All right. So we're gonna have a time of worship. I know you guys picked out some songs to close with. And again, if anybody wants a time of prayer, I'm going to simply ask you to come forward. We have oil. We can anoint you with oil. And I know some of you might be like, well, I got prayed for before. Okay. We can pray for you again if you want. But maybe someone's heart here is touched and you want to be used by God. You want these sort of activities, the effects, these outcome of surrendering to the work of the Lord. You want to see these gifts come forth. These are some of the many reasons why we got to keep assembling together as a church. Amen. So again, we don't want you just to go to church. That's not really biblical. I almost kind of hate that phrase or term. But you are the church. Jesus died for the people, not the place. Amen? That includes you guys that are online. Okay, so we gather here. We pray that God brings you in. And if you're here today, maybe it's because, oh, come on, they dragged me in or they told me they'd give me a ride, so I'm here. No, I'll take it by faith that God brought you in here. And could it be that he's wanting you to discover what spiritual gifts you've got so that you could answer his call on your life, not mine. I can't give you that call. It's like a phone that's forever ringing. And would you just answer that calling? It's all free, paid for by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And he brought you in here, and we simply want to love you, to help you to discover your call that he's got for your life. And we got a bunch of people that can pray. Kimmy, do you want to come down too? Unless you want prayer. But she could help pray for the gals. Andy, if you don't mind, you can help pray for the guys. But we could pray for you. We've got oil. We can anoint you with oil. Andy's one is a good example. Kimmy too, that through just fellowshipping here, learning God's word and taking steps of faith, they've discovered what spiritual gifts they've got. In our servants meeting this morning, you guys heard from Andy in this past couple weeks. 2 weeks, I think. So God's giving gifts, and we want to be able to be used by the Lord to give you opportunities to exercise them. So if that's any of you, while we worship some more, I'm going to ask you to simply come forward. Can we all stand, though, for now? And if God's tugging on your heart where you want to be prayed for regarding spiritual gifts or your calling, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And I don't care if you've been up here once or 100 times. Come on up. We want to keep praying for you. How long should we? Until we see that grace flowing like living water. And then we expect for you to pray for others too. All right, that's great. If anybody else wants to come up, just come on up. I'm going to move this over. So I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Are we okay to start? All right. I'm going to pray for us, and then we can keep worshiping. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for the spiritual gifts that you give. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that these gifts, they're gifts of grace. Whether you have already given your children here these gifts, or perhaps even right now, you want to maybe stir them up. We gather together, like you teach us in the book of Hebrews, to stir up love and good works. We ask, Father, that you would help us, that we would see the spiritual gifts. We know that they're manifestations of your spirit. that you'll show us here, right here and now, Lord, that you do exist, that you're alive and well. That Jesus, you didn't stay dead and buried. You resurrected from the grave, and you resurrected our old dead lives. And for here and now, Lord, we wish to surrender to the ways and the work of your Spirit. We don't have to know everything about how you work. We just have to read and study your word. And you tell us when we gather together, you want us to stir up love and good works. We want to do that now. You also tell us that you want to give gifts. And you tell us to exercise these gifts. Help us to do that now. For we ask, we pray, we beg you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.